Hey, welcome to the Happy Ramp Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined as always in studio by my good friends and partners in radio, Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. And boys, this week I am the traveler. I am retreat man in that I am in the wilds of northern Michigan in the Huron National Forest. One of my favorite places, man. I got to give a little plug to Camp Barakel. It's Barakel, campbarakel.org. Great place, great Christian camp. They are kind to have me back up here to speak every summer, and I'm having a blast, man. I love these people. So little tip of the cap to Camp Barakel. But boys, we have Drisky business, and we have actual business, the kind that pays us actual money. So Piper, why don't you address our actual business item first?
I would love to get paid for Drisky business. That would make this show incredible.
In a sense, we are, but
that's,
you know.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. Our actual real sponsor doesn't have anything to do with that at all. It's an actual really useful thing. It's the Dwell Bible app. So they sponsored the show a few months ago. It is an audio, so it's a listening Bible app. So if you go to dwellapp.io/happyrant33, I realize that's long, they will set you up with a 33% discount. So instead of $30 for the year, which by the way is less than $3 per month, it'll be $20 per year, which is less than $2 per month. But the sweet thing about Dwell is they have a whole bunch of different readers. They have reading plans. So if you are trying to make it through a certain amount of scripture in a year or just be more consistent, they have plans that will just walk you through it. It shows you exactly how much you'll need to listen per day. So, you know, 6 minutes or 12 minutes or 27 minutes. I've used it a lot over the last couple of months as I've gotten ready to teach here and there, just because it helps me to have the text in my ears 3 or 4 or 5 times before I sit down to do studying, just so there's a familiarity to it. So Dwell Bible app is the sponsor. Again, the link is dwellapp.io/happyrant33. And I will drop that in the show notes. So for those of you who can't just write down a lengthy URL, it'll just have a quick link in there. We'll put it on social media as well. But it's a 33% discount off of an already affordable price. Check it out, especially if you've just been looking to get into the Word more consistently with a variety of different listening experiences, male readers, female readers. My favorite reader is a guy named Amos who has he's an African guy. So I really liked listening to Exodus read by Amos because it just added a whole different spin on the narrative from sort of your generic white dude named Mark. So check that out. Listen to Amos read the Old Testament. It's pretty awesome.
Hey, now we're easy because we're about to talk about a generic white dude named Mark. I don't know if you forgot that, but
Far from generic.
That's right. Pipe, that was a great promo read. And I don't know, we call this a teaser in the business, but I just recorded a little audio segment for Dwell Bible, and it was a lovely story by one Jane Austen. I'm really excited about that. Whenever we can kind of bang the dents out of the fenders on that business deal with Dwell, to get some special content from the Happy Rants up on the site. I can't wait, boys.
It's true. I need to sit down and do my recordings. I've been sort of noodling on what particular texts I should do. You also did at least one or two Psalms, and so there was yeah, actual Bible, which fits yeah, better with the Dwell Bible app theme. But
exactly.
But I was trying to think of what my favorite things are, and I was like, I don't know that they would allow any of those on their app. So I have to clean it up a little bit in terms of.
I would love to hear you reading some like clean 90s hip hop lyrics. If you can find some clean versions of songs and just read them in a normal everyday conversational voice,
maybe we should do that on a future episode. That would be fun.
That would be incredible. That's actually, yeah, that's a fun thing to do.
I'm putting it down on our show ideas document.
So but. I was at a vintage shop up here in the wilds of northern Michigan. And I ran across the Digital Underground record with the Humpty Dance on it,
which has been featured on the show before. Your love of it, not the song itself.
Exactly. Do you know what the title of the record is?
I'm a little bit afraid to find out.
Yeah, I don't know if I can say this on the show, but we'll bleep it out. The title is "Sex Packets," like packets, sex packets. I don't know, man. I'm just enamored by this whole thing. And did you know a little bit of trivia? Tupac got his start in Digital Underground. You probably knew that, but that's a true thing.
That's amazing. I'm wondering what Ron's opinion about all this is. He's been notably silent.
Ron, do you own Sex Packets on vinyl by Digital Underground?
No, I'm not a hip hop guy.
Okay, there it is.
So
dude,
dismissive.
No irony.
So dismissive. No, I'm not a hip hop guy. Okay.
Yeah, vinyl. I don't think there's anything ironic about hip hop, or I've already forgotten what we're talking about.
Dude, Piper, let's bring Ronald back into the program. Okay.
Yeah. Otherwise he's going to buy three cabins before this thing is over.
I just don't like hip hop, boys. I don't like blues, and I don't like hip hop, and I don't like jazz.
Can't you join us? I mean, Piper and I do like hip hop, but I think the conceit here is the whole idea that you would have a record named something that ridiculous. And that,
yeah, I think.
That
being a funny thing. Yeah, I mean. Yeah.
Strong take. Coming with your fastball today, Ron.
Hot take, Ronald. Throwing heaters already. Well, boys, we've got something that we can actually throw heaters about, and that is our good friend of the program, man, feeding us content on a weekly basis, it seems like. One, Mark Driscoll. Drisky Business is back on the air, back in the news. And Piper, I want you to walk us through the nuances of this one, because not only is our boy signing and giving away some sermon notes, he's also being super mad at the Reform Tribe, apparently. So lay this on us, man. Walk us through what happened lately with Drisky.
Yeah, so Ron, you can correct me if I miss any details, but so yep. he was on, I believe it was a radio show. It was a pretty long interview, close to an hour, but in the last few minutes, the clip that we will be investing our time in this afternoon is he makes a statement. He says, he's talking about the Young Restless Reform Movement, and he says, you know, basically, Time Magazine claimed that I was one of the influencers who started this thing. And then he kind of pauses and he goes, you know, the 5 points of Calvinism, which are total crap. I don't believe them. They're not biblical. And then he goes on to talk about how Young Restless Reformed guys all suffer from a father wound. And so So they all. I don't know whether to say they or we, but they all suffer from a father wound, and so they turn to dead mentors as mm-hmm. father figures, because those mentors can't correct them because they don't want to be corrected, and then they love this version of Jesus because it makes the son the hero, not the father. And so he takes a dump all over Reformed theology and everybody who he used to associate with, and essentially distances himself would be a generous way to put it. I would say delusionally removes himself from a narrative that he was very much part of.
Oh, I love it, man. There's so many ways to go with this. Ronald, I want you to speak to the veracity of this father wound theory. Do you have father wounds, and is that why you're a Reformed guy? Go.
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 I'm bringing my list out of all my father wounds.
Okay.
So that I can justify everything Drisky said.
Are they written in lipstick on something somewhere? Sort of the Steve Buscemi list or what?
Oh, dude, what a great reference! great reference.
No, they're not. They're not, Pipe. Where do you even begin with this? I mean, the level. The level of irony in that statement from, of all people, Mark Driscoll, you know, is just, I mean, you barely know where to begin. There's like so many like layers to this whole thing about basically like a bunch of dudes with father wounds that then he claims he was essentially trying to be a spiritual father to. But at some point, what? He was rejected by this tribe. So therefore, he has left them behind as a spiritual father to just continue to like swim in their woundedness. And I mean, it's just like, you don't even like the whole thing is so preposterous that like, you don't even know where to begin with it, you know? And just the fact that, you know, again, the guy just doesn't want to be ignored. Right.
Well, that was one of the best parts, because in there he's like the 5 points of Calvinism are crap. they're not biblical. And that's, by the way, listeners, that's not me putting words in his mouth. Those are his words. He then pauses and says, so blog about that. The man is living in 2005, first of all, because he thinks people still blog. And the baffling thing to me is that at no point does he admit to having been part of this thing, to having been one of the most significant influencers of what was a movement of young reformed people, all now middle-aged people. But he's like pretending like it never exists and like it's all a deluded claim about his involvement in it.
Well, except for the fact that has he ever not mentioned the Time magazine article?
That's fair.
Dude, is Time magazine still even a thing?
Does it get shoved under your door at hotels, or is that USA Today? I always get them mixed up.
I think it's USA Today.
I never read the original Time article, but when did that even – I'm sure it happened. He wouldn't say it if it didn't, but like Pipe, do you remember that?
I mean, if I was going to guess, somewhere between 2008 and 2011. So we're talking 10-ish years ago.
Yeah.
But
dude, who else was in the Time article? Was Katie Y in it? And by proxy, was I in it?
Let me do some show prep while we're on the show.
Was it like a Colin Hanson coining the young restless reformed term? And it was probably all about that, right?
Oh, let's see. Mark Driscoll, Time Magazine.
Dude, while you're pulling this up, Piper, I want to talk about – I'm fascinated by this idea of Driskey living in like 2005 in his mind. I wonder if when Driskey watches Stranger Things, he's upset that they didn't pick the early 2000s as the era to pay homage to, you know?
I think he's upset that they didn't make it about him.
That's true. Like, that would be hard too.
That wasn't like my childhood. I should be.
Well, if it reaches like its ninth season, it'll get there. It'll get there.
It will get there eventually. Yeah.
It'll eventually bring in the YRR movement.
That's right.
It's eventually gonna show them all moving to Seattle and like joining a Mars Hill church for
sure. I would listen. I would love to see Kevin DeYoung, Colin Hanson, Pipe's dad, and Timmy K like riding around on BMX bikes, like walkie talking each other. Would you not watch that show? I will watch that all day long.
Oh, 100% I'd watch that one.
Having hijinks and going to the mall and like solving mysteries. This would be amazing.
Yeah, it would be fantastic. Be a bunch of dudes that we're doing like face apps on right now. That's how they would look. Yeah. About 9 seasons of Stranger Things from now, all riding around as old men on like, you know, new school CMX
bikes. New school BMX bikes with like the doing wheelies.
New school like electric BMX bikes and yeah.
Oh, dude, I would watch that. Seriously.
Oh, we would all watch that.
Pipe, what are you finding vis-a-vis Time magazine? This landmark piece.
I am finding many references by Mark Driscoll to having been referenced in it. Not a lot of Time magazine references to it.
Hmm.
So, I mean, I believe that he may have been mentioned in some article somewhere about, you know, like young evangelicalism, but I don't think it was an article about him. So can I go in on a couple other ironic points about this?
Yeah, please.
All right. I have some thoughts. First of all, the whole father wound thing. I used to listen to Mark Driscoll with great regularity. I used to have a ton of respect for him before he completely went off the rails. He used to preach about how his upbringing, and I think he writes about it in one or two of his books, like he had a really rough upbringing. His dad was not good to him and, you know, semi-abusive. I don't know that he used the word abusive, but I mean, that's kind of the stories he tells. And so, so much of these comments are straight up projection. Mm. When he goes into wanting dead mentors who don't push back, that's strikingly similar to how he handled his business, because the moment he got mentors who pushed back, he bailed on them. He's like, oh, I don't like this. This is not comfortable. I liked the dead guys whose theology I could quote. I loved Martin Luther because he was aggressive and loud, but also never told me what to do. But when, you know, John Piper or D.A. Carson said, hey, maybe you shouldn't do that, then he got uncomfortable and went and hung out with megachurch pastors who have also since made a wreck out of their ministries. There's so much hypocritical projection in this that it's astounding. And I don't I don't know what level of, I don't know if it's just, I don't know if it's a desire to be in the spotlight or what it is. I mean, I'm sure that's part of it, but it has completely removed him from remembering reality. I don't get it. I mean,
I don't think he cares, Pipe. I mean, honestly, I think when you have, when you have somebody that has, I mean, let's just take it from like this standpoint without any like justification, like dude, to come from the highs that he was on in terms of like popularity and celebrity and fame and to be where he's at. I mean, there would be this tendency to like do everything you can to like claw your way back, you know, to that level of acceptance and notoriety. And so it's almost like at this point, like to say something that he knows is going to completely rile up the very community that he's now feeling, you know, angry and shunned by, it just leads us back to like thinking like at the end of the day, you know, bad press is good press. Mm-hmm. And as long as people are talking about me, I would rather be hated than ignored. Like anything's better than being ignored. And I think just for somebody
does that mean we're just puppets on the marionette right now? Like, or I'm sorry, marionettes on the string. Like
totally. Yeah, we are.
Okay.
Yeah, we're doing the very thing that he was like hoping we would do. And then of course it also like leads you into believing like sort of what kind of calculations are going on, right? You know, like does he have a book that's coming out called like The 5 Points Are Garbage? You know what I mean? Like, is this
dude? He
like,
should.
Yeah,
you know, I
mean, it's all like, what is this all leading to, right? Because it just seems like there has to be some form of like, I mean, dude, he would know. He would have to know that those comments, his comments will still get recognized if they're inflammatory, and they were, and this whole community is talking about it. So, I mean, really everything that's happening, if this is what he planned on it being, is it's been successful so far. The campaign is successful.
I think, yeah, that's true. I mean, and he is a calculating person. We know this to be true. But I think what got me the most about it, I wasn't really offended by his comments about young wrestlers reform. I mean, whatever, we make fun of young wrestlers reform people all the time. Now, granted, we're doing it as insiders, kind of poking fun at siblings for our fellow quirks, recognizing we're part of this and also not denying theology. It was his comments that he went on to make about the falsehood of Reformed theology were so just unbiblical that was the part that just floored me. Mm. When he said Reformed people like this version of theology because the Son is the hero, when in reality the Son is there to point to the Father, you know, and calling back to the Father. And he has this father-centric theology that it ignores the Trinity, it ignores the gospel, it ignores the unity of Father, Son, and Spirit. And it was so bad. And I think that's what stunned me, because, you know, he was always a little bit fuzzy around the edges with his theology. I mean, but very like affirming of the things he believed in, but then he wouldn't articulate them the most clearly. But that was, I mean, I think that's just heresy, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
That's just a heretical statement. Like the way that he presented it, basically like it was dismissive of Jesus and elevating of the Father, which is a heretical stance to take.
Yeah, it's like weirdo theology, but like someone in his position that's like literally grappling with where all of this has brought him to. I mean, it's almost like there's nowhere else for it to go but to grab hold of some like, you know, because it was very angled, Pipe. You know what I mean? Like you could tell he had thought through this whole like, you know, wounded fathers being enamored by the Son, but the Son is there to point to the Father, and what they're really missing out on is the Father as, you know, needing to take, you know, having, you know, preeminence. And so the whole thing starts getting into like weirdo theology. But then you think about like where else is a guy like that going to go to get some measure of attention? Because just to continue to promote Reformed theology when he's not really accepted, you know, accepted, quote unquote, like within the tribe that he quote unquote built. Like where else is it going to go? But like kind of off the rails theologically, right?
Yeah, I think that's true. I just, I thought he had found a home in the charismatic camp. And I mean, I don't, to be fair, I don't know charismatic. I realize charismatic is not a theology. I think it's a, it, there's probably a whole range of theologies within that, within that arena that I'm not familiar with. But this, that was not one I have ever heard espoused quite that way, although I'm sure it echoes of some heresy that's been around for 1,800 years, because at, there's no such thing as a new heresy.
But it sounded kind of like new invention, huh? Like a guy like that, like wanting to come up with like some new thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like reinvent himself with some like kind of new angle that's going to allow him to write the book and present himself as some prophetic voice. I don't know.
So how do we all become reformed? Because we all have awesome dads, I think. I'm confused. I don't know what my father wounds are.
I love my dad, and I've met your dad, Ted, and unless he's putting on a completely false front, I agree, awesome dad. I don't know what my father wound is. I feel...
It was the generalization of all generalizations.
It really was, it man. Was.
I mean, talk about like the far... Like, hey, Drisky, if you could make just the craziest generalization right now, like what would it be? That every reformed person is wounded by his father.
I think there's something also interesting in the fact that he continues to completely ignore women.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what got him in trouble in the first place, in part. Because the young, restless reform, like the loudest voices were men, but isn't that always the case? We're kind of obnoxious. But there are a lot of reformed women. And
Pipe, don't worry, they have wounded fathers too.
Oh, is it? Wait, okay. Are the fathers the ones who are wounded? Is that what the father wound means?
Wait, hold on. The father's wounded, or are they wounded fathers?
I think it's wounded by the father was the idea of father wound. Then you said wounded fathers, and I was like, wait a minute, that changes things altogether. Maybe that's
what
I
don't know what I'm
say.
Saying anymore. See what I mean? Like, I don't have good theology now after hearing that.
He's winning. He's confused us so much. We're twisting, talking nonsense.
He's twisting my theology now. I don't know what I'm going to preach now on Sunday.
Well, please don't preach. Please don't preach wounded fathers or father wounds or whatever that thing he said was about Jesus not really counting.
Guys, I kind of like wounded fathers now. I'm kind of on that tip.
That sounds like a good band name.
The wounded fathers. Yeah, the wounded father. We should just. I mean, at some point, we should like get up some kind of organization or something called the Wounded Fathers.
What kind of band is the Wounded Fathers? What do they wear and where do they play? Man.
I mean, it's either like a totally ironical like wedding cover band.
There you go.
Or it's just like a darkly emo band of like late 30s, early 40s guys who, you know, who are like daytime accountants and weekend rockers.
Dude, you know what I thought of? Remember, like, this might be before your time, this reference, but remember Whiteheart? From the 80s. They were like a Christian band.
By name.
That's what I think of when I think of Wounded Fathers.
Like, if I'm going to woundedfathers.com right now.
Do it. Get the URL, Ron. I mean, it's a business move.
There's no Wounded Fathers, there is now because we own it.
Baby, we're snapping up that URL.
You know how there's the Wounded Warrior Project that seeks to care for, you know, soldiers who have come back with injuries and their families? Yeah. Should we start a Wounded Father Project?
Should we do
like a GoFundMe to raise money for Mark Driscoll's mental health care?
And call it woundedfathers.org.
Woundedfathers.org. That way it's tax exempt.
Got some t-shirts. I like it.
Yeah, man, I don't know. Are we being self-righteous about
design
this?
Design the t-shirts like the early 2000s tap out like Drisky t-shirts.
Of course we're being self-righteous about this, Ron.
Yeah, that tap out thing drove me crazy. Anyway, go ahead, Pipe.
Yeah, I mean, you asked, are we being self-righteous? There's obviously an inherent risk in us talking about this because we will come off as judgmental. But I think there's something to be said when a prominent leader makes a prominent statement that's that bogus.
Yeah, you can critique, man.
I think we're allowed to go in on it a little.
We're the wounded fathers. We can get in there. I mean, we can say what we like, what we don't like, because again, we are speaking out of our woundedness. So, you know, right?
Right. Key? And if you claim woundedness or having been traumatized or being a victim of some kind, you kind of get carte blanche. So I think we can just claim that that interview by him traumatized us.
Dude, so I'm ready for that. I'm ready to be a victim.
We now can say anything we want. I think that's how that
guys,
works.
Guys, Big T is happy to be a victim now.
That's right. Big T is wounded. This is news.
You've been suppressing that for a long time, but now the joy is there.
This is breaking news.
The joy of victimhood has arrived.
Big T is officially wounded. This changes everything. This changes how my approach to everything I do, man. I'm excited. Drisky's given us a real gift here, in addition to the two straight weeks of content that he's given us.
Baby, let me ask you this, though, man. What do you, because I want to hear you riff on this. Is Drisky, I mean, so we're talking about like narcissism, right? We're talking, you know, maybe it's even clinical. I don't know. But we're talking about like a level of narcissism there that's a little off the charts.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that a guy like Drisky, like it's interesting that we've come to this place that of all of the dudes that have fallen, like for some reason, like Drisky just keeps popping up. Drisky keeps making these comments. Like his level of narcissism just keeps getting like exposed and exposed. But it's interesting that like a lot of these other guys over the last 10 years that have had their issues, they just kind of have remained like kind of sunk and buried. Isn't it weird that Drisky kind of keeps like rising up like a phoenix from the ashes? And I know that's some praise and worship song that I just quoted.
I'm fairly certain that you just wrote.
You should copyright that.
Wait, phoenixes are sort of like beautiful and glorious. Don't you mean like he's more zombie-ish?
Yeah, sure.
He's kind of the undead.
Yeah,
he's rising up like a tap out phoenix in the early 2000s in the octagon.
Tap out MMA phoenix.
Exactly. No, baby, I get the gist of your question. And I mean, on some level, maybe he just really wants it more. You know, maybe he wants the fame more than everybody else. You know, maybe everybody else just kind of learned their lesson and I don't know, ran it out of their system, for lack of a better term. But not to become the Drisky apologist here that I'm at risk of being. But is his sort of fame hunger any different than that of like certain people in our tribe? You know what I mean? I mean, at the end of the day, if saying like inflammatory things and sort of being an instigator online, an online provocateur, if this is the criteria, then maybe we have a lot of narcissists in our tribe. You know what
I
mean?
Man, and so let me just say this, man. I mean, I'm not that far from Drisky, and by not that far, I'm maybe an inch. You know what I mean? So I can just talk about like in the old days, for instance.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, you know, I used to get my records, man, you just get reviewed and, you know, all these different publications, whatever. I mean, I didn't care if it was a good review, it was a bad review, if it was inflammatory, and a lot of them were. I was just glad that they were reviewing it, you know? So at the end of the day, it was like, there was a part of me that just wanted to be acknowledged, and I don't care how they were acknowledging me. So in that sense, you know, we're authors and we're, you know, we have some public voicings, you know, here, you know, represented on the podcast. And so like, there's a part of us that all of us want people to be acknowledging us, talking about us on some level. We want to be noticed. We want to be acknowledged. So the question is, you know, to what degree and for what content, you know?
Yeah. No, that's a good word, man. That's a good word. And I think everybody's geared a little bit differently in their personalities. And the amount of like controversy that Drisky is pumping out on a weekly basis, like it would fill me with anxiety such that I would never sleep and probably die in like 3 weeks, you know?
Yeah,
like I wouldn't last very long living that kind of lifestyle, but apparently he has the endurance for it. And
but you're not
getting,
trying to get, you're not trying to get back to something though either.
You know, no.
I think that's so interesting. You're not, there's not like this place that you fell from that you're like trying to claw your way back to on some other level.
I hope not. You know, I definitely hope not. And I would hope that like, if I was, that people would tell me to stop, you know? And I think I have enough people in my life who would definitely tell me to stop. But, it's an odd deal, man. And as much as we laugh about it, like there is sort of a painful element to this, you know, and the painful element being, you know, somebody's kind of off the rails, I guess. And I wish he wasn't. And I wish he was making different choices, but
I think it's when you hear him make statements like this, it puts in really stark contrast the number of people whose faith was damaged by his fall. I mean, it's I think watching him be so off the rails for me had a, there's a really distinct, like, I can name people, not going to obviously, mm-hmm. who were part of his ministry who now have completely shunned the faith because of the decline of his ministry, because of the hurt that he that the fall of Mars Hill and his style of leadership had. And then to see this, like, he's done the same thing to himself. Mm-hmm. Like, he has had the same effect on himself in terms of just pushing him to a place of resentfulness, deludedness, stiff-armingness, wanting no part of anything before, not even acknowledging kind of what was, for better or worse. And it had a really pointed effect on me to look at it and go, to compare him to those who mm-hmm. he had already done damage to.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get it. Yeah. And there's kind of a cavalierness there that, it just seems a little distasteful, you know.
Well, and the flippancy and the flippancy and the anger too, like the way he just threw those comments out mm-hmm. there. And again, we've all done that, right? So that's not saying that, like, this week we didn't have, you know, moments of, like, flippant emotional angry outbursts at something. But again, you know, given the public nature of what he said and the way, I mean, really the way that he aimed it, mm-hmm. you know, the way he pointed and aimed it so that, you know, we would be having this podcast right now.
Yeah.
Is pretty interesting, right? It makes you wonder who's around you, who's, like, who's speaking in, who's not pulling you back, you know, who's not, you know, making you a little more self-aware of these things. It's interesting.
It is. And boys, I hate to pull us back because I'm enjoying this conversation, but I have to go, man. I have camp business to attend to. And it's interesting to unpack this Drisky stuff the last couple of weeks, man. He continues to be a fascinating guy. But boys, we've done what we often do on this program, in that we've wandered to and fro throughout this one topic. And until next time.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
Feeling stressed? Let's take better care of you. I'm Bonnie Gray, the host of Breathe, the Stress Less podcast. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com.